emergency room. Oh my goodness, the ambulances aren't running. The Power Hour listeners are going to be the ones that are going to prevail. That's what we want, patriots. We want you to prevail. And that's why we have a lot of the items as special as we can give them to you. And the Miracle 2 right now, the neutralizer, you better get it while...
Let's say you started a business giving kickboxing lessons. Because you...
Will remind it, if not fully consciously reminded, at least unconsciously or subconsciously remind it.
Respects just a recent manifestation of this counter-subversive tradition in American life.
Dreams of a Final Theory.
Eyes glance and pick it up, even though I may not register, even though my temporal lobe may not register, my unconscious subconscious can register, and thus I will be, in a sense, traveling that day with that truth.
Been no words, no poetry in ashes south of canal, no prose in trucks driving debris and DNA, evident out my window in abstract reality, sky where once was steel.
Properties that can be analyzed mathematically. The existence of chaos does not mean that the behavior of a system like Saturn's rings is somehow not completely determined by the laws of motion and gravitation and its initial conditions, but only that as a practical matter we can calculate how some things, such as particle orbits in the dark gaps of Saturn's rings, evolve. To put this a little more precisely, the presence of chaos in a system means that for any given accuracy with which we specify the initial conditions, there will eventually come a time at which we lose all ability to predict how the system will behave. But it is still true that however far into the future we want to be able to predict the behavior of a physical system governed by Newton's laws, there is some degree of accuracy with which a measurement of the initial conditions would allow us to make this prediction. It's like saying that although any automobile that keeps going will eventually run out of gasoline, no matter how much we put in the tank, still no matter how far we want to go, there is always some amount of gasoline that would get us there. In other words, the discovery of chaos did not abolish the determinism of pre-quantum physics, but it did force us to be a bit more careful in saying what we mean by this determinism.
Intersection and there's zero death on an intersection that has a lot of traffic, you should never put it at the zero an intersection that has zero accidents. And it shows you that it's profit motivation.
And I do want to point out, one of the previous callers pointed out that there are cameras all over the major loops around the cities. They've got cameras everywhere.
This tradition of metaphysics, which is at the heart of Western philosophy, will be raised as a fundamental problem, as well as a fundamental resource of Western thought. Metaphysics is the notion that there's something like true being. True being.
Ever braining a rabbit, swatting a fly, pulling a wishbone, picking a flea from his hair, or doing something which Arthur at first glance cannot quite identify. His feet, incidentally, are stamping on ants.
This is trying too hard.
Arthur is depicted as an evil, rapacious, bloodied ogre, slaughtering his way through an innocent one-man universe. And waddling round him, savouring the moment, is the black, razor-toothed creature that he has supposedly been persecuting all this time.
There's a time for living. The time keeps on flying. Think you're loving, baby, and all you're doing is crying. Can you feel? Are those feelings real? Look at your game, girl. Look at your game, girl. What a mad delusion, living in that confusion. Frustration and doubt, can you ever live without the game? The sad, sad game. Mad game. Just to say your love's not enough. If on you can't be true, you can tell them.
Smoke where once was flesh. Please, God, let it be a mistake. The pilot's heart, the plane's engine. God, please, don't let it be anyone who looks like my brothers. I don't know how bad a life has to break in order to kill. I've never been so hungry that I willed hunger. Never so angry as to want a gun over a pen. Not really. Even as a woman, a Palestinian, never this broken. Ricardo on radio said in his accent thick as yucca, I will feel so much better when the first bombs drop.
Under Commander Stella Morrison of the Colonial Administration, went into orbit around Planet Blue at 0700 Standard Sidereal Time. Authorized procedures were followed.
Aerial photography completed, Commander.
Anything show on the plate?
Well, Masterson was suspicious of these lines towards the poles, but the angle seemed to be coincidence.
They are not artifacts.
Glacial faults. Geological survey reports no volcanism.
Mm-hmm.
The launch is back. Dodge has a landing site pinpointed. Preliminary atmospheric tests look good. There's a 0.7 bulge in oxygen, but it's just enough to make you feel good. Looks like an open-air job. No pressure suits or condenser, man.
Well, that's precisely what they thought on Centauri 1. And the whole expedition was wiped out by spores.
Of course, I was assuming a favorable biocheck.
Mm-hmm.
Preliminary photographic survey, Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Dodge.
You want them played back here? We haven't transcribed the tape.
If you please, Lieutenant.
393. Al? Pipe the photo tapes up here on 324.
Looks like a green world, all right. Punch up the tape, if you please, Lieutenant.
All orbital checks prove positive. The atmosphere and gravity Earth normal to three places on the Grayson scale. And the exploratory research ship lowered itself by the Meyerson-Lay atmospheric skip method came into a stalled tail landing just before sunset on a day marked in the logs as Planet Fall Zero.
and nothing less, then there is no room for doubt. But if you will, in that logic, allow the illogic of impact, allow it to be such that I've created a rule and therefore I get to make the rules, and one of the rules is I have impact on this illusion that I have created, and this illusion has impact on me.
Stop crying, or you're gonna break Ryan. That's the game. Sad, sad game. Mad game. Sad.
It looks for all the galaxy like a mad, fat, scruffy bat.
Stop poking me! I was at a cricket match.
Looking like that?
Not in this body. Not in this body. This is my last body, my last life. This is my revenge body, my kill out a dead body. My last chance I had to fight to get it too.
But how could this possibly...
I was at a cricket match. I had a weak heart condition. But what, I said to my wife, can happen to me at a cricket match?
Over there. A woman crying in a car parked and stranded and hurt, I offered comfort, a hand she did not see before she said, "We're gonna burn them so bad." My hand went to my head and my head to the dead Iraqi children, the dead in Nicaragua, in Rwanda, who vied with fake sport wrestling for America's attention. People saying, "This was bound to happen, let's not forget U.S. transgressions." Hold up, I live here. These are my friends and fam, me in those buildings, and we're not bad people. Do not support America's bullying. Can I just have half a second to feel bad?
And I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid to admit that I have impact on my world, and that my world has impact on me. I can create it. That means I can have impact on it. If I have impact, then there is an inside and an outside. Then there are different aspects of me. And I can create a harmony. A harmony, what? Between what? Between my mind and my heart. A harmony between what I think and what I feel. A harmony between my mind and my soul. A harmony between what I manifest myself to be and what I really am. Your mind and yourself. A harmony between your doing nature and your being nature. A harmony between the man that you all are and the woman that you all are. Between the masculine energy that you all are and the feminine energy that you all are.
About Carl von Clausewitz as the main theoretician. There are many writers on military history. I was teaching up at West Point. They had a whole course up there called Philosophers of War. Many writers. And this is the textbook we use, Makers of Modern Strategy, from Machiavelli to the Nuclear Age. And we could focus on a lot, but Clausewitz seems to have the essence of what war is all about. So we're going to concentrate on him for this first lecture. A little bit about his life. He was born in 1780 and lived till 1831.
Quantum mechanics is not deterministic in the same sense as Newtonian mechanics. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle warns that we cannot measure the position and velocity of a particle precisely at the same time. And even if we make all the measurements that are possible at one time, we can predict only probabilities about the results of experiments at any later time. Nevertheless, we shall see that even in quantum mechanics, there is still a sense in which the behavior of any physical system is completely determined by its initial conditions and the laws of nature.
Reported. On a given day, more than 1 million to 1.5 million folks come to nytimes.com at least once a day.
Cameras at intersections, cameras at the Walmart, cameras at the shopping mall.
But only one at the Pentagon.
The hatches remained sealed as a 2-mile perimeter was scanned by direct instrumentation. Major Lawrence Hall of BioSurvey reported EEG sweeps to the bridge.
Of course, it isn't conclusive. We've run into life forms that didn't broadcast a brainwave at all. The Granulodon lizard on Ganymede. Skull acted as an effective shielding due to a heavy lead constituent in the body chemistry.
Major Hall, I am not interested in a lecture on extraterrestrial zoology. Is there or is there not life within the range of your instruments?
Now, as we discussed this afternoon, it's easy for some of you to fall into an adolescent trap. An adolescent trap that when we say feminine, we are meaning woman. Breast and vagina. Makeup and perfume. And when we say masculine, that we're meaning man. Macho and muscles. And therefore, as we talk of certain of the attributes of the masculine energy, some of you men getting very peacocky and proud. Yeah, that's us, boy, I'm one of them. And when we talk of the beauty and the virtues and the necessities of the feminine energy, the women sort of, told you so. I knew it all along. And some of you, as we're talking of the masculine energy, getting angry, some of you women feeling, it's not so neat, it's not so good, is it? Feeling that somehow we're talking down about you and up about men. And similarly, when we talk of the feminine energy, some of you men finding yourself getting restless and a bit uncomfortable, a little coffee. Because you think we're talking about women being better than you. No, we're not talking about gender. See, that's what the adolescent makes the mistake. The adolescent makes the mistake of assuming masculine and feminine are gender-oriented. Male is gender-oriented. Female is gender-oriented. A person, how can a person be too much male or too much female? In fact, is not so. So you are as male as you are or as female as you are. And that is determined by your gender. But one can be too masculine or too feminine or too little femininity or too little masculinity, and we are not talking about measurements with a yardstick or a measuring tape. When we speak of masculine energy, we're not speaking of genitalia. The adolescent thinks we are. When we speak of feminine energy, we're not speaking of genitalia. The adolescent thinks we are. What we want to suggest is that within each of you is a male and female energy. That you are both male and both female, and that doesn't mean you both genitalia. You know better. Nor is it suggesting that you should develop another sex.
In metaphysics, or buttons and pods, if it were a Broadway song in a Broadway play near Broadway, Well, it's all laid out like celebrity poker, the new Texas kind of game, not real poker. It's all on the table. Even the down cards of the silly little game system games.
No one is suggesting you should change the way you dress.
There's anticipation. All the planning has been done, the engineers, the moms, the cat is ready to take its seat, as it were, on the big stage, here in the Virtuo Dome. The three space one time celebrity virtual reality stage where we all can reach for and touch the stars. New Metaphysics Land, kind of an underlay in between the tertiary interlay and various edgings and frostings along the border, making up our kind of wrap up burrito style, all ethnic sandwich spanning east and west, whole flour, whole grain, or balkanized manna from heaven. The open legs of the awaiting posture, you might say. And all that it's ever all been about, irregardless of time being simultaneous, even besides that, what it's all been about is being about right now. Not even talking about the present moment, eye of the needle, only reality kind of thing either. It's right about these days you can talk all about the all about and you won't be telling a lie. Of course, there are truths and there are better truths, depending on the setup, the punchline.
Well, I'm sorry, Stella. The readings show no electrical brain activity whatsoever, and that covers life down to the level of invertebrates.
Thank you, woman, who saw me blinking cool and blinking tears, opened her arms before she asked, do you want a hug? Big white woman in her embrace only people with flesh can offer. My brother's in the Navy, I said, and we're Arabs.
It's all about Arabs today. Big umbrella. The plasma state, plasma physics, for those analysts out there. And like glue technology, have barely touched the fibroid fibers, the platelets that will do their magic when needed. So the Arabs, the grand feminine, among a bouquet of same, looking like materialism, but hand goes right through. Supposed to be governing things around here. Like, a lot of the fire peoples, blacks and Jews, some of the red Indians, fire ants probably, you know, the dreaming fire ants.
There may be a few worms turning out there, and unless they're thinking awfully hard about something, we wouldn't pick them up.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Professor. We're back into your backwards binocular vision. And when you've unlearned a whole galaxy of oneness, you can report. Of course, even that's not good enough these days. The left and right hand of God, especially here in America with the coasts versus the heartland, the male-female playing itself out, quite low quality, actually. Those heartless yuppie who embraced the American game and took it to the bridge. And then those left behind, picked up by the Republicans in the 70s and running for the goal line with network mailing and, of course, now well-funded emailings and phone brigades. And of course, the culmination of many decades long scandal, the voting machines. An old story, really. They say 10% of the black vote has never been counted in major elections, at the minimum. I think that's a good proportion.
Or the rigidity or lack of it of your wrists, or any other of what you assume to be symbols of masculine and feminine energy. We're not talking of gender, we're talking of energy. And each of you, when we speak of the virtues and the values of masculine energy and the virtues and values of feminine energy, can both feel proud and both feel a little sheepish, to the extent that you have or have not developed either. Harmony between the male energy and the female energy that is in each of you. You see, Jung spoke of these two energies in the form of anumas and anuma. The anumas being the male energy, the anuma being the feminine energy. And Jung wrongly said that within every man there is this extra energy that is woman that needs to be developed. And with every woman, there is this extra energy that is man that needs to be curtailed. When you read Jung more closely, you realize he's an incredible chauvinist. Absolutely so. And hardly a friend to the feminist energy, hardly a friend to the feminist movement.
Wow, you got double trouble. Word. One more person asked me if I knew the hijackers. One more motherfucker asked me what Navy my brother is in. One more person assumed no Arabs or Muslims were killed. Assume they know me, or that I represent a people, or that a people represent an evil, or that evil is as simple as a flag and words on a page.
I want preliminary drones out for sampling. How long do you think that will take?
Well, thorough job, take about 2 weeks.
Right, and then in September 2000, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Pearl, all of these...
You just stole my thunder, Joyce.
Oh, no.
Thanks a lot. Now, let's go to the calls. I can't have any fun. Jerry at Michigan, go ahead. I'm out of here. Go ahead, Jerry.
This is Gary.
Okay, Gary.
That was the point that I was going to make about the tolerance of 5 or whatever miles per hour. It's pretty well known by everybody that the auto industry does not put certified speedometers in the ordinary car. And I've had many opportunities to test my speedometer, and it's 2 or 3 miles off. And this is a common
That's
case.
A good point.
This is a common case. I mean, you can't trust your own speedometer as to what you're actually going at. So, and this whole thing is a joke as far as I'm concerned, concerning the speed situation anyway. Also, there's a lot of people that... monkey around with their tires, and if you don't have the right size tire on your car, you're not going to get an accurate reading on your.
You got that right. Hey, hold on to that thought, because that's exactly where I was going to go. What you say? Hey, stop! Here come.
Yes.
As I'm watching, what happens? Two people quite maliciously appear out of thin air just in front of me.
So I was stuck on the third floor among the stacks. And that's when I first impression. Well, it turned out pretty good. I fell in love with a page, and it was kind of fun to follow her around as she shelved books. But I think what really happened was I was interested in poetry, and I started to delve into these poets who were there. And mostly it was, at first I thought you couldn't really be a poet unless you killed yourself. So I was very interested in Sylvia Plath and Anne Sexton and John Berryman especially, but they led me to Lowell and had so much at that library. I'm grateful that I was able to go through so much of his stuff and just be amazed and possessed.
Do you remember the first Lowell poem that said, "This is poetry, Jim Barely"?
It must have been like that collection, because some of the things that came out of it, he talks about Beverly and Beverly Farms, places that I was familiar with. I think that's where he made real inroads with me. I might have started with Dolphin or one of the late books, but I think it was Life Studies that now even, I mean, still remains very important to me.
Of course, whatever determinism survives, in principle, does not help us very much when we have to deal with real systems that are not simple, like the stock market or life on Earth. The intrusion of historical accidents sets permanent limits on what we can ever hope to explain. Any explanation of the present forms of life on Earth must take into account the extinction of the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, which is currently explained by the impact of a comet, but no one will ever be able to explain why a comet...
You suggested that every man has the other and every woman has the other, but did not suggest that every person has both. We would suggest that each of you is but a vehicle that has chosen a gender, and within that gender choice has chosen to develop harmony.
There is no excuse for this war. From Anonymous.
Flash cover, so it's difficult to spot on your desk. Anyway, the latest operations manual of the U.S. Army is laced with all sorts of Clausewitzian phrases. And this is the 1986 version of it. In fact, if you read articles on the Middle East right now and you hear analysts and strategists, invariably they will invoke Clausewitz on some of their articles. Looking at an overview of his study on war, Clausewitz died suddenly in 1831 of cholera, and so he had not had a chance to redo his notes before he died. So his wife compiled his notes. One female student pointed out to me, well, maybe Mrs. Clausewitz wrote it all. And it could be. So anyway, it's 1,000 pages of philosophy on war. And now, of course, Clausewitz was a student of Hegel and German philosophy. So it's filled with all sorts of convoluted Hegelian dialectics and a little rampant German nationalism there.
We did not vilify white men when McVeigh bombed Oklahoma.
Between the maleness and the femaleness, the masculine and the feminine, the animus and the anima, if you like. Of who you are. Because of the adolescence, attachment to form, he or she wants to see what we're talking about as genital differences.
Management can do to get the air staff of their FM station to occasionally pay attention to the AM in case something really bad has happened to it. So
yeah,
it's like,
true.
You know, occasionally you hear stories about how some little AM station running a satellite show just completely fallen on its side or something, yeah. And nobody has
no
even noticed, even though they had personnel there who could have fixed it if they were paying any attention to it.
I have a schedule, Major. How long till you can give me a protective Schedule C clearance?
2 days. Then I ought to check airborne spores and microorganisms.
Carry on, Major.
All right, Stella.
His family's address or church or blame the Bible or Pat fucking Robertson. Networks air footage of Palestinians dancing in the street. No apology that hungry children are bribed with sweets that turn their teeth brown. Correspondents edit images. Archives facilitate lazy journalism. And when we talk about holy books, hooded men, and death, why never mention the KKK? If there are any many people on earth who understand how New York is feeling right now, they are in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Bush has waged war on a man once openly funded by the CIA. I've read too many books to believe what I'm told. I don't give a fuck about Bin Laden. His vision of the world don't represent me or those I love. But I've signed petitions for years to out the U.S.-sponsored Taliban. Shit is complicated, and I don't know what to think. But I know who will pay. Women, mostly colored and poor, will have to bury children, support themselves through grief. In America, it will be those amongst us who refuse blanket attacks on the shivering, who work towards social justice and opposing hateful policies. Either you are with us or with the terrorists, meaning keep your people under control and resistance censored, meaning we got the loot and the nukes. Never felt less American and more Brooklyn than these days. These stars and stripes represent the dead as citizens first, not family, not lovers. My skin is real thin. My eyes are darker. The future holds little light. My baby brother is a man now, on alert, praying five times a day. The orders he will take are righteous and not weigh his soul down from the afterlife. Both my brothers, my heart stops. Not a beat disturbs my fear. Muslim gentlemen born in Brooklyn, and their faces are of the Arab man.
Last thing I can't help but notice before my poor heart gives out in shock is that one of them is Arthur Dent, wearing a rabbit bone in his beard. Coincidence?
Yes.
Coincidence!
Look, it's just fate playing silly buggers with you. With me, with us. It's a complete coincidence.
What have you got against me, Dent?
I want to take them one guy at a time. Is Bush artificial or authentic?
I don't know.
In certain intellectual and political circles, there is an opinion that America should isolate itself from world affairs.
Official or authentic? For the moment in the hip-hop culture, and bring it back to what really counts at the moment.
To my mind, this is another sign of illness. It demands that a vigorous, powerful nation withdraw from the world scene and commit its full resources to solving its internal problems. We should, according to this point of view, not get involved abroad. But this misses what is the most elementary and most obvious fact in our times. We are involved.
The election is... I want to take them one guy at a time. Is Bush...
If that be the burden of power, then I suggest we make the most of it.
Well, here's the situation with these type of AM-FM combination stations. You've got a Music Your Life AM station, and it's pulling a 2 in the ratings, and the FM is pulling a 10. Well, if those two are co-owned, they can add that up and make it a 12.
I let you know if I turn up any special diseases on Planet Blue.
Here comes the commercial. Here comes the break.
bodily form difficulty, as opposed to mental and emotional, intuitive difficulty. He or she wants to see what we're talking about as genital differences. Form, body form differences. Form differences. As opposed to mental and emotional, intuitive differences.
Artificial or authentic?
Radical liberals will not get exercised over the presence of hardcore pornography at the corner drugstore. But for heaven's sake, don't let him catch your son praying in the public schools.
I don't know.
On the other hand, take a look at the Grenada operation, where we had a very small military operation, lasted a couple of days, insignificant militarily. But I think when historians look at the Grenada operation, they're going to say this was an operation that had great political significance. It sent a powerful political message to the Russians that the Vietnam syndrome was over.
The radical liberal will not hesitate to demand the immediate use of the 82nd Airborne to integrate the schools of a southern state. But he will buy his house as far out in the suburbs. So far, you have to take the metro liner to get there.
It happened to hit the earth at just that time.
We don't count you if you come twice or more. That's more than the paper. On weekdays, it's probably closer to 1.5 million. On weekends, it's over 1 million. It averages out to some.
So those all-you-can-eat restaurants, they're not even all you want to eat. They're all you can eat. Which means you could be leaving, they'd be like, head back in here, Tubby.
Air scoops, ground samplers, and vegetation choppers returned to base, and the bio team instituted full prescribed tests. Immediately identifiable airborne dangers were ruled out. Outside of the possible allergenic action of pollens, Planet Blue was ruled safe for normal exploratory procedures, and the real work of the survey was gotten underway.
I don't want to. You can eat more, can't you? I guess I can. Back in here, Tubby. Means you could be leaving, they'd be like, head back in here, Tubby. They're all you can eat. They're not even all you want to eat. It's those all you can eat restaurants. They're not even.
In heaven.
I guess I can.
The sunset.
There's all you can eat restaurants. They're not even all you want to eat. They're all you can eat. Which means you could be leaving, they'd be like, head back in here, Tubby. I don't want to. You can eat more, can't you? I guess I can.
So it's all you can eat rest.
will want your child bussed clear across town to meet someone's notion of proper racial balance, but his own kids will be off to Pensy Prep.
Let's put it like this.
Wait, what do you mean you don't know? You've determined that the brothers in the hip hop game are artificial. They're not.
Oh no! But the thing that makes them artificial is not them being in hip hop.
Right.
It's the idea that you have to be a certain way, a certain small version of a black person to be authentic. See, that's my argument.
But their mantra, Stanley, to your point, their mantra
for something real is that always exists. But what you said is one of the points that I make in Artificial White Man, that we're surrounded by so much information that's false, Ray.
Right.
We're confronted with so many things that keep our minds focused on trivia, that we want something to be authentic and we want it to be big.
Right.
But it's always small. You know what I mean? It always comes at us in a small way. That's why people get so involved in these science fiction movies and these disaster movies.
I think reading is the only thing that keeps me sane. A different book everywhere. Anna Karenina on airplanes, Colin Dexter in the hotel room, Ford Maddox Ford before I go to sleep, Milos Forman's autobiography in the bathroom. The place becomes the book. The book, a place within the place. Sleep. Milos Forman's autobiography in the bathroom. The place becomes the book. The book, a place within the place.
And all of these things, because fraudulent as they are, they give them some feeling of the fact that they're in the middle of, they're watching something enormous take place.
Here's the morning report, Commander. 4 in sick bay, 3 ordered to light duty.
What happened?
Well, last night was liquor ration.
Oh.
Survey teams out in the field, bio crew under Major Hall, agronomy, ecological, geological, and deep map teams out.
Any reports back?
Deep map seems to think there's petroleum over to the north, and agronomy reports if you dropped a seed in this soil, you'd have to jump back to keep from being knocked over by the plant. Mm-hmm.
And so to understand and to begin to understand harmony, we need first begin with the masculine principle. There are several components that make up what is masculine. The first component that corresponds ironically and obviously to the first chakra component. The first component of the male energy or masculine energy is the energy of willing and acting and manifesting. The energy within each of you that can will something, that has a sense of determination, that has a sense of follow-through, that has a sense of self-reliance, that has that sense of focusing the thought on what you will have in your reality.
And I think that a lot of our job, the reason I was saying that I think that authenticity has to be expanded, is that when you define any group downwards to something basically imbecilic, right?
Right.
And then you say, that's the real black person there. The one with the gold teeth, the one with the handkerchief around his head, the one with his pants falling off. That's the authentic guy. When he said, well, what about Tavis Smiley? Oh, no. He's not authentic. He wears those beautiful suits and those beautiful shoes. I mean, he doesn't have any gold teeth in his mouth. He's not a misogynist. He's not a real brother. See, you can't do that. See, because the first thing is, look, think of all of these young black people, male and female, who are nothing like Lil' Kim or 50 Cent at all.
Right.
The only thing they have in common with them is that they breathe air and eat food. Now, I think Quentin Tarantino is a remarkable filmmaker. I think he's the most sophisticated of filmmaker of his generation. I think he has a much more complex vision of race and culture than just about anybody else in his age bracket.
Counselor.
Sorry, I don't know your name.
No, don't bother. A word processor, the lowest of the low.
Joe Pitt, I'm with Justice Wilson.
I know that. Counselor Pitt, Chief Clerk.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. What a nice man.
Not so nice.
What?
Not so nice. Nothing. What's wrong?
Life just sucks shit.
I'm sorry?
Forget it. Look, thanks for asking.
Well,
I mean, it really is nice of you. Sorry, sick friend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's sweet. Three of your colleagues have preceded you to this baleful sight, and you're the first one to ask. The others just opened the door, saw me, and fled. I hope they had to pee real bad.
They just didn't want to intrude.
Ha! Reaganite, heartless, macho, asshole lawyers.
Well, that's unfair.
What is heartless, macho, Reaganite lawyer?
I voted for Reagan.
You did?
Twice.
Twice? Well, oh boy, a gay Republican.
Excuse me?
Nothing.
Well, I'm not forgetting.
Republican? Not Republican?
What?
What?
Not gay. I'm not gay.
Oh, sorry. It's just that...
Yes?
Well, sometimes you can tell from the way a person sounds. That, I mean, you sound
no,
like...
No, I don't. Like what?
Like a Republican.
Do I? sound like a...
What? Like a Republican? Or Dubai?
Do you what?
Sound like a...
Yeah, like a... I'm confused.
Yes. My name is Louis, but all my friends call me Louise. I work in word processing. Thanks for the toilet paper.
And then to follow that willing with action. Not just to sit passively and will, but to get up and act. And out of that willing and out of that acting, to then manifest. To manifest, to generate, to create something. That is the masculine energy. The masculine energy of security. The willing, the acting, the manifesting. The willing, the acting, the manifesting is the foundation, the seat of your security. And it is originally a masculine energy. Originally a masculine energy. The second energy that is part of what is the masculine principle. Is the energy that creates form to force content. That creates form to force content in order to fill the context of your reality. Now that's a mouthful. Content, context, form to fill content, to fill context. All right? What we mean by that is this. Masculine energy creates form. I'm gonna be spiritual, right? That means I'm going to meditate 3 times a day. I'm going to set up an altar in the far corner of my room, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to meditate 20 minutes a day, or 20 minutes 3 times a day, or 4 times, or 5 times, or whatever. And I'm going to keep a journal, and I'm going to use this pen and this paper, and I'm going to, all this form. And I'm going to get out of bed, and I'm going to do this technique, and that technique, and the other technique, all form. And the purpose of creating all that form is to create content, to force content. And it works. It works. You can create form to force content in your life. Indeed, if you will sit 3 times a day and meditate, that form will force content. You won't just sit there absent-mindedly. You won't just sit there blankly staring into nothing. You will, all of a sudden, maybe not the first day or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, but eventually you'll start sensing something in your meditation. The form will force the content.
About 1.3 million, 1.4 million. During huge news events like the war in Iraq, we were up as much as 2.5 million individuals coming counted once. That's an astounding number. It tells us that we can extend our journalism beyond the readership of the paper.
And it's a strand that becomes very active in the immediate post-World War I Red Scare.
And Tuesday, July 13th, 2004, 8:48 p.m. to Mike at michaelmoore.com. Subject, Training Soldiers. I am writing this letter as an irate veteran who spent 25 years as an infantry drill instructor in the United States Army Reserve. I take it very personally that many of the thousands of soldiers who I train for combat have been sent into the hell of a war zone with little thought given to what that means.
Today, we're going to talk about extra crispy chicken, how it was developed, a little about the cooking process, and all about its tender, juicy taste and crunchy, flaky crust.
A few years back, our research and development department surveyed a lot of customers and found they were ready for a chicken with a crunchy, flaky crust. So they went back to the labs and did all kinds of research with chicken. And before you knew it, they introduced Extra Crispy Chicken in August of 1970. And now, Extra Crispy Chicken is on the menu in KFC stores all over the country. In fact, Extra Crispy amounts to a large portion of the chicken we sell. This is Extra Crispy Chicken. It's tender and juicy like original recipe, but it has a crunchy, flaky crust, and the taste is great. Now, the procedure for breaking and inspecting the chicken is just like original recipe. We inspect it for freshness and broken bones, and remove the tail and excess fat. We also break the thigh bone out of its socket. But, from this point on, the procedure's different. First, Extra Crispy is marinated in a solution that adds flavor to the chicken. After marination, the chicken is removed from the marinator and rebagged. You can store the chicken in the walk-in cooler, or you can immediately bread it and cook it. When we bread the chicken, we use Extra Crispy breading flour. First, we want to give it just a light coating. Then we place the chicken in a wire basket and rock it back and forth to remove the excess flour. The chicken is then dipped in Extra Crispy chicken batter mix and put back in the breading flour for a heavier coating. The double breaded chicken is again placed in the wire basket and rocked back and forth. Rocking gives the breading its flaky texture. And after it's cooked, the chicken will have a golden brown crunchy crust. Extra Crispy is also cooked differently than original recipe. Original is cooked with pressure. Extra Crispy is cooked without pressure in an open fryer. Now, there's several approved fryers for cooking Extra Crispy, but they all work basically the same. After Extra Crispy is cooked, it's held in a warming cabinet or display unit just like original recipe. Extra Crispy can be sold immediately after it's cooked. No drain time is necessary. The maximum holding time for Extra Crispy chicken is 1.5 hours. After that, any remaining chicken is thrown out. We want our customers to get the best chicken there is. Well, that's everything there is about Extra Crispy chicken. Let's review. Extra Crispy was introduced in August of 1970, and today it accounts for a large portion of the average store's chicken sales. It's golden brown, tender, and has a flaky, crunchy texture. It's marinated to add flavor, and then double breaded and batter dipped. Cooked thoroughly, and then held in a warming cabinet or display unit for 1.5 hours. Or it can be sold immediately. But, like everything else, it's best to cook it as close to customer demand as possible. Well, there you have it. The tender, juicy, crunchy taste of Extra Crispy chicken. Now, go to your study guide for the next step in your training.
Initially, well, that looks like a building implosion, but I guess not.
And I've interviewed probably, I don't know, 5-6 different degreed practicing structural engineers here on the show, and we have stills off Fox News, clearly of blast points as the explosives are going off, drop down.
Exactly. And I have, I was in Washington not long back, and there were some, two, three, or four New York firemen who came down to attend this convention where I was speaking, and we got to talking, and they all said that among the New York firemen, they all still talk about the bombs and the explosions that were going off in series in the World Trade Center towers, but that they've all been admonished not to speak publicly about this, or they would lose their jobs and their pensions and everything else.
I was in New York, and I would give these speeches in front of literally hundreds of police, and you see a few firemen walking around, and they look scared to death. I saw some of them nodding their heads while I was talking, Jim.
Right. They know, but it's just, Alex, it's the same thing that I saw in Dallas after the Kennedy assassination. Everybody in Dallas knew the lone nut thing did not work, that something else had happened, but they were scared to death, and none of that information ever got outside of Dallas. I saw the same thing in Oklahoma City when I went up there to look into the Murrah building.
We got a break. Stay there, Jim. We'll be right back.
Fantastic. And computers and salvation is the language of the future.
Sounds pretty good.
Commander, Blue is about as likely a spot for colonization as has been turned up since Harvey's planet in 27.
Well, they'll be glad to hear that in Central. How long do you think until we can send back a clearance?
I've checked with department chiefs. They all estimate about 2 or 3 days more until they're satisfied. All except Bio.
Why is Major Hall dragging his feet?
I don't know.
Well, find out. And in the meantime, I'm going to call a staff meeting. Every day we can say when our report is important. If Blue is suitable for colonization, I don't want to waste a minute.
How big a deal do you think your mother was
in your reading, like to get you to read?
I mean, she's huge.
She was too impatient to wait for me to learn how to read in first grade, so she taught me to read when I was four. You know, I think mostly just so she could talk about books with me, you know?
And what were the first things?
First thing? Cat in the Hat.
Winnie the Pooh.
And then my father found out that I could read, and he made me read Ben Hogan's Power Golf.
Remember this one?
Somebody told me that they think this is, that it all begins with this. That's the ultimate writer reader book, Harold and the Purple Crayon.
Never saw it.
You never read Harold and the Purple Crayon?
No.
But the guy draws his own world, man?
Never.
Come on.
Never. Never heard of it. Never saw it until this second. Or if I did, it's 40 years ago and I forgot.
City or the first World Trade Center bombing, where they admit the FBI cooked the bomb and framed the driver. It comes out, but then no one's ever prosecuted in the government over and over again. But we have the owner, Larry Silverstein, slipping up or throwing it in our face, saying that they blew it up. We have the firefighters telling the press, get back, we're pulling Building 7. That was in the Associated Press. We have Giuliani saying they were told to get out of the building. And then clearly Tower 1 and 2 were blown as well. But do you think on purpose they throw this in our face now?
Yeah, they're pretty arrogant. They almost to the point to where they don't care. It's like, we're in control. What are you going to do about it? Let's go back and look at the World Trade Centers briefly and go back and look at the whole history of it. First off, they were a boondoggle from the word go. Once they were built, I know I've been to New York many times, and most New Yorkers hated the towers. They thought they destroyed the sky, beauty of the skyline. But more importantly is when the World Trade Center towers were opened for business, it suddenly opened so much office space that land values in lower Manhattan actually dropped. So the whole thing's kind of been a elephant. So in early 2001, though, they just about had a sale ready to go. They were going to sell the whole complex, okay? But it fell through because they found out that the towers had been built with asbestos in them, and it was going to cost more than $1 billion to get the asbestos out of there. Well, of course, that's not economically feasible. So now they're stuck with these buildings. They can't sell. They can't renovate. They can't do anything with them. And so Silverstein, the titular owner, takes out three separate insurance policies on them. And
to make clear, he only owed Building 7 in the past, right before 9/11, for just a couple hundred million. He buys both of them and takes out $3 billion in insurance.
That's right.
I can see a sadness. It's lovely.
this every morning. You spend time surrounding yourself in a bubble of positive energy. That form will force the content of your life to change. Form can force content. Masculine energy creates form to force content, to fill context or space. Form to force content, to fill context or space. Setting is the context of your life, therefore to fill space. Masculine energy, therefore, creates form to fill space, creates form to force content to fill space. And that's what that energy is about. And you can see it, all of you can see it within yourself. You go to a job, yes? And it's a brand new job, and you don't know the rules, right? You don't know how to do what you're supposed to do. You need training. And when you first begin to train, but they show you the form. Now you sit here, and you put the paper over here. And then you do steps 1, 2, 3. And then you move it over there, and you do step 4, 5, and 6. And then you take it here and put it there and do this. You understand why you're doing it? No, just do it. Just do it the way you're told. Follow the rules. Get here by 8, punch in by 8:50, and get to your desk by so. Take your break at such and such a time. All form, right? All form. Why should I take my break at 10:15? Why can't I skip my break? You must take your break. Why? They don't necessarily always explain that to you right off. Eventually, hopefully they will. But we would suggest here that's form. And the idea here when you learn a new job or you learn a new task of any sort is here's the form to follow. And as you follow the form, you force content. The form is you do the work and then you check your work. And as you do that over and over again, the content of your work will improve. And you can create form to force content, to fill space. What are you going to do from 8 to 5? See? What are you going to do while you're, quote, at work? I'm going to fill the space of work. That's the context. I'm going to fill that space with what? With content.
I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille. One wants to move through life with elegance and grace, blossoming infrequently, but with exquisite taste and perfect timing, like a rare bloom, a zebra orchid. One wants, but one so seldom gets what one wants, does one? No, one does not. One gets fucked over. One dies at 30, robbed of decades of majesty. Fuck this shit. Fuck this shit. I look like a corpse. A corpsette. Oh, my queen. You know you've hit rock bottom when even drag is a drag.
Who are you?
Who are you?
What are you doing in my hallucination?
I'm not in your hallucination. You're in my dream.
You're wearing makeup.
So are you.
But you're a man.
Hands and feet give it away.
There must be some mistake here. I don't recognize you. Are you my... some sort of imaginary friend?
No. Aren't you too old to have imaginary friends?
I have emotional problems. I took too many pills. Why are you wearing makeup?
I was in the process of applying the face, trying to make myself feel better. I swiped the new fall colors at the Clinique counter at Macy's.
You stole these?
I was out of cash. It was an emotional emergency.
Joe will be so angry. I promised him no more pills.
These pills you keep alluding to?
Valium. I take Valium. Lots of Valium.
And you're dancing as fast as you can.
I'm not addicted. I don't believe in addiction. And I never... Well, I never drink and I never take drugs.
Well, smell you, Nancy Drew.
Except Valium.
Except Valium and wee fistfuls.
It's terrible. Mormons are not supposed to be addicted to anything. I'm a Mormon.
I'm a homosexual.
Oh. In my church, we don't believe in homosexuals.
In my church, we don't believe in Mormons.
What church do you... I get it. I don't understand this. If I didn't ever see you before, and I don't think I did, then I don't think you should be here in this hallucination, because in my experience, the mind, which is where hallucinations come from, shouldn't be able to make up anything that wasn't there to start with, that didn't enter it from experience, from the real world. Imagination can't create anything new, can it? It only recycles bits and pieces from the world and reassembles them into visions. Am I making sense right now?
Given the circumstances, yes.
So when we think we've escaped the unbearable ordinariness and, well, untruthfulness of our lives, it's really only the same old ordinariness and falseness rearranged into the appearance of novelty and truth. Nothing unknown is knowable. Don't you think it's depressing?
One heel, one toe, one heel. Stomp twice. Pivot. Slide it in triple step. Double heel. One toe.
Home. Right.
Stomp twice.
Up in the Poconos.
Up in the Poconos, yeah.
Yeah. You sent a reply back to our company. I'm one of the owners.
Three, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
Can you speak a little louder, sir?
Is this Jesse Florentine?
Yes, it is.
Hi. This is Claude McCombs.
Can you speak a little louder? I can't. I have a problem with my hearing. I hear you a little.
This is Claude McCombs.
Right.
Up in the Poconos?
Up in the Poconos, yeah.
Yeah. You sent a reply back to our company. I'm one of the owners.
I didn't pick up the last part of that.
I said I'm one of the owners.
You're one of the owners?
Right.
Okay.
I was wondering if I could answer some questions for you.
You want to ask me to the prom? Is that what you said?
No, I said, could I answer some questions for you?
Oh, can you answer some questions? Yes, right. Yes.
Well, what would you like to ask me?
Where exactly are you in the Poconos?
Near Big Boulder Ski Area.
Excuse me?
Near Big Boulder Ski Area.
How far would that be from the Delaware Water Gap?
20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Right.
Okay, now, what else is it? What kind of area is it? Is it like a suburban area?
No, it's country.
It's country?
Right.
Okay, what kind of prices are we looking at?
What kind of prices you want?
I don't know. You know, I just came into some money, so...
Do you have your own land?
Yeah.
Where's that at?
It's in Jersey.
Oh!
I got 15 acres.
Where at in Jersey?
What did you say about Jersey?
Where in Jersey?
Oh, where in Jersey? It's in right outside of Morristown. It's a town called Denville. D E N V I double L E.
Well, I'll send you some information. How's that?
You gonna send someone to kick my ass? What you say?
I'll send you some information and dump it to you.
What is? You gonna send me some information and what?
Right.
What kind of information?
I have your address. I'll get it out to you.
Could you say that one more time?
I'll get it out to you.
You're gonna take me out?
One heel, jump twice.
You're gonna take me out? What do you mean out? Like
slide it and triple step.
On a date?
I can't talk any louder. Bye.
One toe, jump twice, triple step. Help me count to 16. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Fly. Heel. Switch it. Stop it. And slide.
By form. That's masculine. That's masculine. The third quality that is of masculine energy is shaping, forming, and focusing energy. Shaping, forming, and focusing energy so as to create new form or new structure. Whenever you sit down and shape energy, shape thoughts and ideas, shape what you're working with in the abstract, shape it and focus it and form it with the idea that I want to create a new way of doing something. Let me sit down and figure out if I can't build a better mousetrap. See? Let me sit down and see if we can't find a more efficient, more effective way of doing what we're doing here. Let's see, we follow the rules and all this sort of thing, but isn't there a better order? Isn't there a better structure? Isn't there a new way to do these things? That is shaping and forming and focusing energy for the purpose of creating new form or creating new structure. So we're not here trying to change the content of what we're doing. We're trying to change the way in which we do it, the form that we do it in. That's masculine energy.
Flowers has a specific relationship with the insect that pollinates it.
There's a certain orchid looks exactly like a certain insect, so the insect is drawn to this flower. It's double, it's soulmate, and wants nothing more than to make love to it. After, the insect flies off, spots another soulmate flower and makes love to it, thus pollinating it. And neither the flower nor the insect will ever understand the significance of their lovemaking. I mean, how could they know that because of their little dance, the world lives? But it does. By simply doing what they're designed to do, something large and magnificent happens. In this sense, they show us how to live, how the only barometer you have is your heart. Now, when you spot your flower, you can't let anything get in your way.
Roses are if you love somebody, right?
Roses are the classic choice.
But other flowers could achieve the same effect.
What if you could ask her to marry you?
Oh, how lovely. Well, roses would be the perfect choice.
But she turned out to be a cheating coward and ran off with some shithead that she met at traffic school. What color would you give a coward?
Yellow. Yellow.
Great. 12 dozen yellow roses sent to this address, please.
What would you like the card to say?
Fuck you, cunt.
I think it would be more personal if you write that.
Departments had reported favorably except biology. Ecological survey pointed out the difficulty involved in the necessity of importing animal life, but this problem had already been met in the colonization of Gamma 2 and 3, when an entire ecology had been transported in frozen gene banks and fertilized and incubated on the site. Biology, however, still withheld a favorable report.
Look, Larry.
What is the secret, Stella? Cold formality on the bridge and Larry when you're in my lab?
Well, I'm serious. Well, I've just gotten an official query from Central. They want to fish or cut bait on Blue. Your department is the only one holding it up. We're 2 weeks behind schedule.
And the first colony on Vishnu was right on schedule and 7,000 died of green spot.
That was before the full biocheck technique was worked out.
My dear, do you know how many different microorganisms there are in a cup full of dirt?
I'm not a freshman student of biology.
Oh, dear.
The limitations of the imagination?
Yes.
It's something you learn after your second theme party. It's all been done before.
Metaphysics. Just a man at the pod. Here in the tri-state, kind of the same as cruising the interstate. Various cruise controls and plateauing of the movement. Firing pin being what it can be and all, in the trajectory of things today, all the coalescence and the bas relief of the Matrix. And the nature of the key concept of what humans are doing around here these days, all very well tucked underneath so far. A few peaks here and there. few denials. Crickets in the background for ambience, and we crawl along for a little more. Then, of course, shadows do play on the wall, crawling along. Imagination being what it can be and all.
It only recycles bits and pieces from the world and reassembles them into visions. Am I making sense right now?
Given the circumstances, yes.
So when we think we've escaped the unbearable ordinariness and, well, untruthfulness of our lives, it's really only the same old ordinariness and falseness rearranged into the appearance of novelty and truth. Nothing unknown is knowable. Don't you think it's depressing?
The limitations of the imagination?
The white, sort of yellow fungusy kinds of crust on the white man, spoiling the broth, last cook in to the galley, providing the pièce de résistance, if we will, ready for the flip. The disinform. Activation of the key concept. Just beyond the grasp of the matrix forever. Or as ever as can be, since this is a oneness regime. Various tricks employed to pretend otherwise. Greatest minds of our generation, destroyed by towing the party lines, and very well recompensed if they didn't copyright, unless they did. Grab a little equity along the way. Unlike the inventor of Gatorade, however, I think he got a lifetime supply of Gatorade for his efforts down there in Gainesville.
Yes.
It's something you learn after your second theme party. It's all been done before.
The world. Finite. Terribly. Terribly. Well, this is the most depressing hallucination I ever had.
Apologies. I do try to be amusing.
Oh, well, don't apologize. I can't expect someone who's really sick to entertain me.
Did you know?
Oh, that happens. This is the very threshold of revelation sometimes. You can see things. How sick you are. Do you see anything about me?
Yes.
What?
You are amazingly unhappy.
Oh, big deal. You meet a Valium addict, you figure out she's unhappy? That doesn't count. Of course, something else, something surprising.
Something surprising?
Yes.
Your husband's a homo.
Oh, ridiculous. Really?
Threshold of revelation.
Well, I don't like your revelations. I don't think you intuit well at all. Joe's a very normal man. Oh, God. Oh, God. Do homos take, like, lots of long walks?
Yes, we do. In stretch pants with lavender coifs. I just looked at you and there was...
a sort of blue streak of recognition.
Yes.
Like you knew me incredibly well.
Yes.
Yes. I have to go now. Get back. Something just fell apart. Oh, God. I feel so sad.
I'm sorry. I usually say fuck the truth. But mostly the truth fucks you.
I see something else about you.
Oh?
Deep inside you, there's a part of you, the most inner part. Entirely free of disease. I can see that.
Is that... that isn't true.
Threshold of revelation.
People come and go so strangely here.
Is Richard Miniter, his book The Shadow War, and all sorts of fascinating material here. One of the stories he tells, and we were just alluding to that, was in November of 2001. This is just 2 months after the September 11th attack, why one of the key men, one of the military leaders of the Al-Qaeda is in Yemen. He's in a car. They're apparently driving down the road. The Predator, this is a, sort of like a drone plane that has a Hellfire missile, is able actually to spot the plane. They know that they know he's in the car driving down the road. This whole thing is being monitored from a great distance and actually being watched at our military headquarters in the United States. They fire the Hellfire missile and they're able to take him out. Now, what's so amazing about this story, this is just 2 months after September 11th. We had had the Predator for long before. We had been watching Osama bin Laden for months, if not years, before the 9/11 attack. The president had ordered that he be taken out, at least according to Clinton, on two separate occasions, and they just could never take him out. In fact, that's the story of Richard Miniter's first book, and if you haven't read it, Losing Bin Laden is must reading time after time after time after time after time. They could have taken him out, and there was always a reason, despite the fact that the president had ordered it. Mr. Miniter, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Wasn't that a frustrating book to write?
It was, because as I interviewed dozens of people involved in the Clinton administration, it was clear there were a lot of people, especially in the middle and at the bottom, who were very dedicated to getting Osama bin Laden. It was the political people at the very top who were the ones who always pulled back at the last minute.
And, Chris, I think it's amazing things to think of the technology that you can be just driving down the road and you don't even hear the plane probably up above. It flies very silently. And, of course, out of the blue comes this Bolton. But this was one of the leaders of the Al-Qaeda movement. How did they know he was in the car?
I think two things are getting confused.
Am I mixing two things there?
You're mixing two different Predator attacks.
All right.
In November 2001, in Kabul, the capital of Afghanistan, we spotted Mohammed Atef, and he was killed 2 months after September 11th by a Predator. Al-Harafi was killed about a year and a half after 9/11 on a highway in Yemen.
All right.
And we knew he was there because spy satellites had been deployed to look for him. And we had human intelligence on the ground, both in Yemen, looking for him. And, of course, the Yemeni army and police were looking for him. So we had a pretty good idea of who he was. There were a number of times in which he was in another vehicle or in a house.
Bass is behind us, man. time to grow up. Got the road to hell in front of us.
And I was hoping I could tempt you into some field work.
Stop.
For the purpose of creating new forms.
To trace the explanations of all natural phenomena to final laws and historical accidents.
That forms and focuses, that shapes energy for the purpose of creating new form and new structure. And you all do that. You all do that in your life. The fourth quality, that is the masculine energy, is dynamically creating or putting into action that part of you that takes ideas and then acts upon them. That part of you that takes the, all right, we've got the form now, we know what we're going to do, we know what it's going to produce, now let's get going, let's get moving, let's generate something out of this now. That put it into action energy, that dynamic creation energy, that's the maleness, that's masculine energy that runs through the blood of every one of you, not just half of you. To dynamically create, to put into action, to start the engine, to get things rolling, to get things moving, to get things on the road here. Enough of this sitting and talking about it, let's do something about it, right? Let's not just plan this picnic. Let's go do the picnic, yes? Get the wine and the Colonel Sanders and let's go. Yes?
Adventures in Research.
I tell you, I saw it with my own eyes. He sent a message from one room to another by wire.
X-ray, X-ray, read all about it. Message sent across ocean without any wires. X-ray, read all about it.
What has gone wrong?
This is Paul Shannon introducing another in the series of programs dealing with the thrilling adventures to be found in the field of scientific research, as told by the men of science themselves. Our story today by Dr. Phillips Thomas, research engineer of the Westinghouse Research Laboratories, is called Electronics in Communication. This is the story of man's invisible messengers, the electrons, and how they were harnessed to carry his words throughout the world.
And in most insurance policies, they will not insure you against terrorist attacks because they can't predict them. But he insisted that all three policies had a clause in there that specifically said they will pay off on if there is a terrorist attack. Now, it gets better. He is sharing this insurance money with, of course, the mortgage holders, one of which is Blackstone Group, which is, its CEO is Pete Peterson, head of the Council on Foreign Relations. So you can see the interconnectedness of the people involved with this thing and some of the motives that were in place for bringing these structures down.
It is more than the story of electrical communication. It is a tribute to the progress made by civilization.
Someday, Larry, you're going to make some remark in front of some junior officers or even enlisted personnel, and I'm going to have to call you on it.
People are funny about warnings and precautions. Warnings can be frightening and imposing and require action. Who needs that hassle? Remember Jeffrey Dahmer, the homosexual pedophile who killed and ate his victims? Months before his eventual arrest, an Asian teenager, a male Asian teenager, came running from Dahmer's apartment naked, bleeding from the rectum, and pleading for police officers to help. The cops wrote it off as a likely domestic disturbance. You know, naked, in shock, bleeding from the rectum. Just another gay tiff. No red flag there. Yet the press found a story where Jeff Dahmer was caught sneaking into the Honor Society photo every year in high school. And they made it seem like that should have been the red flag. How did we not see it coming? Sneaking into the Honor Society photo. Eating Asian teenagers. Duh. It was an obvious, desperate cry for help. And now we must ask ourselves, what can we do to make sure it never happens again?
Now, what was in Building 7? Well, there were CIA offices, there was Mayor Giuliani's fortified bunker, which he never even used, but there was also, and this is the most important, offices of the Securities and Exchange Commission. And guess what was lost when Building 7 came down?
Enron, WorldCom, all of it.
Exactly.
Stricter policing of Honor Society photo sessions. I challenge my opponent to sign a pledge making it a federal crime for anyone caught sneaking into high school photo sessions. And if he doesn't sign it, he'll be threatening our children. By the way, hack politicians promising to make more and more crimes federal is one reason the FBI didn't have time for terrorism. But hey, carjacking is down 2%. In a similar way, why do people act shocked whenever NASCAR drivers get into an accident or die? What? No. Whoa! 1 minute he's flying around an oil slick track at 200 miles an hour, bobbing and weaving between cars, and the next minute, gone. He was standing right next to me an hour ago, and then he got in the car and... Fate, huh? Yeah, that one came out of the blue. But remember the American nuclear submarine that surfaced directly under a Japanese fishing boat, killing 9? That we have to stop from happening again, like it ever would. Have you been on an ocean? It's big. It's literally an ocean of water. That a Japanese fisherman could awaken one morning as he does every day, and by lunch have a Los Angeles class attack submarine up his ass, just means a certain allowance for fate must be accorded. America is bad at discriminating between danger likely to strike again and red herrings.
Hey, my script's going amazing. Right now, I'm working on an image system. Because of my multiple personality theme, I've chosen the motif of broken mirrors to show my protagonist's fragmented self.
Afraid for your dignity, my dear?
Look, I'm in charge of this expedition.
Enough of this talk of the value of picnics and the wonders of the outdoors. Grab the bucket and let's go. Let's do it. Somebody start the car. Come on, we're going. That's masculine energy. The dynamic creation of putting it into action is the masculine energy. And the fifth quality. The fifth quality now that follows that which you put in action is the motivation. The seeking and searching for meaning. The seeking and searching for meaning. You see, masculine energy isn't just all bullheaded, charging forth stupid, idiotic energy that so many want to think it as. It is seeking something. It is searching for something. It has a motivation. And that motivation is to find meaning. To find the meaning of life, the meaning of existence, the meaning of who you are, what you are, why you are. So first it begins with the willing and the action and the manifesting. And then creating form to force some substance, to force the substance to fill this thing called life. And then it shapes and reshapes and focuses and refocuses and forms and reforms that energy so as to create new structure, to generate new structure, new activity, new form. And then it puts it into action. Let's run this up the flagpole, see who salutes. Let's get this going. See what happens with it. See if this mousetrap is going to catch mice. Let's see if it's going to work. Why? Why do you want to see if it's going to work? Because I'm seeking. Because I'm stretching and reaching. Because I'm trying to understand. Through the meaning, through the intellect, I'm reaching and stretching and trying to come to that energy of understanding. That sense of meaning. Because I want to know. Sixthly, masculine energy is an instinctive energy that protects. The part of you that protects yourself from physical assault. The part that always determines whether it's a fly or flight, flight or fight, whichever. The part of you that determines how to protect yourself, how to defend yourself, rightly or wrongly, righteously or properly.
My friends, I'm here tonight to show you the way. I'm here tonight to share a great truth with you. I'm here tonight to de-hypnotize you, to free you from a deadly collective obsession. I'm a voice for those who dare not speak. I'm a cry for hearts that suffer in silence.
Investigations.
All of those Toms and all of those oil companies and all of those scandal-ridden corporations that, of course, were tied into Bush and Cheney and all the rest of the leadership of this country.
Ago and I forgot.
This is my friend Johnny Goldstein. I've known him since grade school when we traded Chip Hilton books together.
That's good. Haven't we always thought that this is possibly how life is? Right? I mean, when we were young, we used to talk about how this whole thing could just be a set and we were the only people that didn't know it.
I loved all that time in libraries. Now it seems to be spent on the computer or internet. But neither helped me learn anything about Dal Mossman. I got a camera, friends who are willing to help. But without a plan, it's too much risk, too much money. But maybe because I have a camera, people will talk to me who otherwise might not.
And I'm here tonight to tell you what needs to be told. I feel an itch for public service, and I've got to scratch it.
We do things that are multifaceted, and Bush's younger brother ran security for the entire complex.
So I make a list. If I could talk to anyone about the books I loved and why they faded away,
would I choose?
The first permanent job I was ever given was at the University of Montana, which seemed a world very far away from the East where I grew up. I was born and brought up in Newark, New Jersey. But when I went to Montana, there was one thing that seemed familiar to me, and these were the books on the shelves of the library, because they were books that had been selected by a chief librarian who was a communist, and I myself had grown up in the movement. And most of the books that I came across were books I had known all my life. But one day I came across Call It Sleep by a man called Henry Roth, not knowing who he was, and as far as I know, never heard even the name of the book before. And I pulled it down and said, began reading it by asking myself the question of why did a man who was dedicated to Stalinist politics read this book? But as soon as I got into it, I forgot all political questions, because I discovered that what I held in my hand was a book which had reimagined the childhood of everybody.
In this best of all possible worlds, everything is in a hell of a mess. Everyone knows it. Everyone has a different explanation for it.
Continuing along. Metaphysics. Spreading it out. Soft or hard. Only certain elements will last through the sands and the winds of time. Which don't exist, of course. Quite a relief. So we're getting on about things here. The next countdown is the 2012 December 21 end Mayan calendar type of thing. Of course, I'll tell you that Mayan calendar already ended. But you know how the endings of things can go, especially when there's an inaccurate apprehension of the perception of time by some, and points of view and all. And inadequate forming of the key concept not a key concept of the Matrix, however. I think they missed out on this one. They got all caught up in the running down of the voodoo for some reason or other having to do with an overabundance of the masculine. I don't know, maybe they weren't loved by mom in a previous metaphysics, and had to do a 90,000 year shakeout of the masculine, or the yang, as some of our Eastern yellow friends would have it. People of the dawn. You know, the feminine side of the planet. Here in the West, it's the masculine of the erectile masculine. Viagra in hand. And the Viagrin derivatives coming on market as I speak. So you know what happens when you eat used food. It accentuates the breakdown. And after 90,000 years of breaking down, we need some new variants of same.
Contract ended on 9/11. That was from 2 years before, set for that date.
You gotta love the terrorist, huh? It's like a champion of the masculine. The Black Knight riding. The Highwayman. The icon of our dreams. We've always dreamed of the terrorist, but only of late can this great grand icon really triumph and exalt. Because as violence gets mature, it wants to punish in a very directed way and assuage those dreams unfulfilled. Well, just another character on stage these days. It's the end of the end game. You know what happens then. It's the grand review, grand redux, redux of the same, and review of the review, and on, as many castings of shadow as we need, as the shadow on the sun dial at high noon.
But all these explanations are bunk. Not money, or the lack of it. Not the atom bomb, or the hydrogen bomb, or the cobalt bomb are responsible for our plight. Not capitalism or socialism. Not militarism or pacifism. Not cannibalism or ventriloquism. None of these are to blame. None of these are at fault. They are mere symptoms. They are mere manifestations of an evil that is deeper rooted. The true cause of our problems and pains, the basic cause of our headaches and heartaches and torments and turmoils and calamities and crimes, the real cause has been hidden from us, hidden by the very men who are supposed to enlighten and protect us. The medical profession. I accuse medical science. I say medical science is a fraud, an organized system of ignorance. I say medical science is a conspiracy, a premeditated idiocy. Its practitioners have betrayed us. Every day they give us a new theory. Today contradicts yesterday, tomorrow will wipe out today. A torrent of trash, a Niagara of nonsense. After 10,000 years, we are still living in an age of pills and legalized butchery, of blood analysis, urine and psychoanalysis, of toenail and dendriff analysis. An army of know-nothing, hair-splitting, fee-splitting specialists is at war with an army of ailments. And the ailments bloom, and the specialists prosper, and the patients die. Unless kept alive at the point of a gun. You are being murdered, my friends, day after day, as long as you live. Never ask for whom the grave is dug. It's dug for you. You are in walking distance of your grave. But you can't see it. Tears shed by your left eye are blinding your right eye. Tears shed by your right eye are blinding your left eye. Wake up! We are not suffering from a million or more diseases, but from one disease and one only.
Fat, bald.
Charlie Kaufman, fat, bald, repulsive, old. We open on Charlie Kaufman, fat, old, bald, repulsive.
Connection with her. I can't even meet her. I can't meet anyone.
In a way that nobody ever quite had before. And it would never be possible for anybody who had read this book to be a child the way his parents had been a child or his grandparents before him. It's a revolutionary book in a psychological sense.
This is not Susan Lynn's story. I have no connection with her. I can't even meet her. I can't meet anyone.
I have no understanding of anything outside of my own panic and self-loathing and pathetic little existence.
He just disappears. He doesn't write anything again. You know?
Yes, I mean, one of the things that I'm proudest of as a critic is that once in my life, at least, I discovered a book which nobody had known about before. And persuaded other people to read it, and it finally became even a bestseller. I don't quite believe it happened, but it must have. Because I sit here holding a copy of it in my hand.
My dignity happens to be a function of command, and as such, it's a survival factor.
The instinctive protection and the instinctive nature to provide. The instinctive nature to provide. To protect and to provide intuitively. Instinctively. Not the energy to, well, I suppose I have to be earning something here. I suppose I have to go out and get a job and earn some money. Well, all right. Now, that's not instinctive, yes? That's not a whole lot of spontaneity. That's not masculine energy. Mm-hmm. Masculine energy, it's not feminine either. We're not sure what it is, but it's not. It's all lazy, eh? But we would suggest here that the masculine energy instinctively wants to protect, instinctively wants to provide. The masculine energy, not all men. Right? Masculine energy. And it's not that women don't have any desire or instinct to protect and provide. Of course they do. And that's the masculine energy within them that flows through your blood as it does through men's blood. To provide, to protect. Instinctively, that.
I have no way of knowing how many of those fine soldiers have mental problems, missing limbs, lost vision, other serious medical problems, or have lost their lives.
So upon landing in the United States, or what is now the United States, the servant would be sold for a period of years, and the buyer would pay the money not to the servant, but to the ship captain.
Nothing, honestly, nothing.
Seemed a strange way to relate to somebody you've got nothing against, killing them all the time. Very curious piece of social interaction, I would call that. I would also call it a lie.
Look, I'm very sorry. There's been a terrible misunderstanding. Now, I've really got to go. I'm meant to be helping save the universe.
At one point, I decided to give up. Yes, I would not come back. I would stay in the netherworld. And what happens?
I don't know.
I got yanked involuntarily back into the physical world. As a bunch of petunias. In, I might add, a bowl.
Oh, dear.
This particular happy little lifetime started off with me in my bowl, unsupported, 300 miles above the surface of a particularly grim planet. Not a naturally tenable position for a bowl of petunias, you might think. And you'd be right. That life ended a very short while later, 300 miles lower, in, I might again add, the fresh wreckage of a whale, my spirit brother.
Well,
on the way down, I couldn't help noticing a flashy-looking white spaceship. And looking out of a port on this flashy-looking spaceship was a smug-looking Arthur Dent. Coincidence?
Goodbye.
Where were you?
Out.
Where?
Just out, thinking.
It's late.
Well, I had a lot to think about.
I burned dinner.
Sorry.
Not my dinner. My dinner was fine. Your dinner. I put it back in the oven and turned everything up as high as it could go, and I watched till it burned black. Still hot. Very hot. Want it?
You didn't have to do that.
I know. It just seemed like the kind of thing a mentally deranged sex star pill-popping housewife would do. So I did it. Who knows anymore what I have to do?
How many pills?
A bunch. Don't change the subject.
I won't talk to you.
No, don't do that. I'm fine. Pills are not the problem. Not our problem. I want to know where you've been. I want to know what's going on.
On with what? The job?
Not the
job. I said I needed more time.
Not
Mr. Cohen, I talked to him on the phone. He said that I had to hurry.
But
I can't get you to talk sensibly about it.
Shut up!
What?
Stick to the subject!
I don't know what that is. You have something you want to ask me, ask me. Ask me. Go.
I can't. I'm scared of you.
I'm tired. I'm going to bed.
Tell me without making me ask, please.
This is crazy. I'm not...
When you come through the door at night, your face is never exactly the way I remembered it. I get surprised by something mean and hard about the way you look, even the weight of you in the bed at night, the way you breathe in your sleep. Seems unfamiliar. You terrify me.
I know who you are.
Yes, I'm the enemy. That's easy. That doesn't change. You think you're the only one who hates sex? I do. I hate it with you. I do. I dream that you batter away at me till my joints come apart like wax and I fall into pieces. It's like a punishment. It was wrong of me to marry you. I knew you... It's a sin, and it's killing us both.
I can always tell when you've taken pills because it makes you red-faced and sweaty. And frankly, that's very often why I don't want to.
Because...
Because you aren't pretty. Not like this.
I have something I want to ask.
Then ask! Ask! What the hell
are you... Are you a homo? Are you? If you try to walk out right now, I'll put your dinner back in the oven and turn it up so high, the whole building will fill with smoke and everyone in it will asphyxiate. So help me God, I will. Now answer the question.
But what if I...
Then tell me, please, and we'll see.
No. I'm not. I don't see what difference it makes.
Promises must be a deal for when they're not given or gratuitous. Okay, well, there are generally considered to be four legal requirements for contract. These are agreement, consideration, capacity, and legality. Now, some say six, some say seven, but we'll work with these four. And I'm going to go into each of these four in somewhat more detail over the course of the next several lectures. But I want to give you an overview right now so you have some background, some understanding of where we're going.
The hidden disease, the original, the fundamental disease, and it cannot be cured by chemistry or surgery. By skullduggery or blackstrap molasses. Let the doctors examine themselves.
It's like the only thing I'm actually qualified to write about is myself and my own self.
We open on Charlie Kaufman. Fat, old, bald, repulsive, sitting in a Hollywood restaurant across from Valerie Thomas. A lovely, statuesque film executive. Kaufman, trying to get a writing assignment. Wanting to impress her. Sweats profusely. Fat, bald, Kaufman paces furiously in his bedroom. He speaks into his handheld tape recorder and he says, Charlie Kaufman, fat, bald, repulsive, old, sits at a Hollywood restaurant with Valerie Thomas. Kaufman, repugnant, ridiculous, jerks off to the book jacket photo of Susan Orlando. What do you want?
Thank you.
Part 2, A Half-Assed Thief. In March 1967, 32-year-old Charles Manson left Terminal Island Prison near Los Angeles. 13 years had passed since the juvenile correctional systems finally passed him fit to take his place in society. And how had Manson spent those 13 years of adult life? For 9 years and 2 months of them he had been in prison. His breaks of freedom had been 2 short stretches, 2 years and 10 months before his first arrest, 1 year and 8 months after he'd served 2.5 years in jail. Charlie Manson has summed up his early criminal career quite well when he says he's just a half-assed thief who didn't know how to steal without getting caught. He left the federal reformatory in 1954 to go and live with his aunt and uncle in Meacham. Then his errant mother returned to West Virginia, and Manson moved to live with her at Wheeling. Their relationship proved uneasy and unstable. Neither could cope with the other's inadequacies. Before the year was out, Manson had a girlfriend. His sex life hitherto had been homosexual, furtive, and loveless. The discovery of heterosexuality when he was 19 was one of the determining factors of his life. He enjoyed it, and later events suggest that he was good at it. By January 1955, he was married to 17-year-old Meacham Hospital waitress Rosalie Jean Willis. Manson's casual labor as an attendant at car parks, filling stations, and diners didn't bring in a lot of money. He supplemented his income by stealing cars. Between January and July 1955, he stole 5 or 6, delivering one out of state to Florida. By July, Rosalie was pregnant, and Manson took her in a Lincoln Mercury stolen from Bridgeport, Ohio, to Los Angeles. He had made it to the coast. From now on, Charles Millis Manson would be inevitably associated with California. In October, he was picked up and charged with having stolen the Lincoln Mercury. Under questioning, he also admitted to the theft of the car he'd taken from West Virginia to Florida. So there were 2 federal charges standing against him, violations of the Dyer Act prohibiting the transportation of stolen vehicles across state lines. The social worker's prognosis on Manson was not very hopeful. He seemed weak, deceptive, and habitually criminal. On the other hand, practically all his childhood since he was 13 had been passed in closed institutions, and they hadn't done him much good. There was a slim chance that responsibility for a pregnant young wife might straighten him out. A slightly dubious judge gave him 5 years probation for stealing the Mercury. And instantly, Manson blew it. The charge of driving a stolen car from West Virginia to Florida was still to be heard. The chances of its being taken in tandem with the stolen Mercury charge were excellent. He was likely to get another 5 years probation to run concurrently for the earlier offence. But Manson didn't wait to find out. He skipped bail, and grabbing his freedom and Rosalie, headed back for Appalachia. He was picked up in Indianapolis in March and returned to Los Angeles. His son, Charles Jr., was born that month, but Charles Sr. was already behind bars awaiting trial, and the following month he was sent to Terminal Island Prison, San Pedro, to start a 3-year sentence. He was put through another detailed psychiatric examination.
Let them have a good look at their own distorted, two-legged, upright position. They stand erect on their hind legs. But can they think straight? Their spines are caving in. Their livers have putrefied. Their discs have slipped. Their sciatica is dislocated. Their noses have bulbified. What do these learned garbage cans, these boil catchers and abominationists, these troubadours of diarrhea and constipation, what do these sinister fools, these hand-picked morons, what do they know about quadrupedism,
about four-leggedism. Less than a jellyfish knows about Beethoven's ninth.
The first requirement of a contract is an agreement, which we break down in the law into an offer and an acceptance, which seems like a reasonable way to have an agreement. An offer and an acceptance.
The intrusion of historical accidents into science means also that we have to be careful what sort of explanations we demand from our final laws.
We'll be back in a minute and 10 seconds. This is Dave.
So quiet, they won't ask any questions. But if it's an AM standalone, that too is worth nothing for advertising. In fact, even if I were to get a 3 in this market, people will start noticing and might place some advertising on this radio station, WGIB, okay?
But they won't pay you much for it.
No, but if I get a 3 in the ratings of this format, some FM's going to jump on it really fast.
Without having to think about it, just doing it. That part of it that reaches, that blinks, that defends, that protects, that runs out there and lifts up the side of an automobile from someone underneath, etc., that grabs a child who is hurt and rushes to the hospital, etc. That masculine energy, you see. Not confined to men who have jobs. But any one of you who instinctively protects and provides, that's the masculine energy within you. And seventhly and finally, the masculine energy is the energy of doing. Now these are the qualities, the 7 qualities that provide the principle that is the masculine principle. Any actions, any thoughts, any manifestations that are a response to this are masculine thoughts and energies and manifestations. It's the male energy that is within each of you, not just those of you who are by gender called male. As you look at yourself and as you think of your own awareness of who you are, to what extent do you will? Do you have a willingness? To what extent do you act upon that will? Do you do things because of that will? To what extent, out of those willing and actions, do you manifest anything? Do you follow through? I'm willing to be happy, and I'm going to take the first few steps to be happy, but do I actually manifest anything out of it? Do I proceed? Do I follow through? And to that extent, what is the form that I create? And is it for the purpose of forcing content, or is it for some other purpose? So you can force form to make people wrong. Okay, I followed the rules, I did what you said, and it didn't work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You were wrong. I did everything just the way you told me to do it. I followed step 1 through whatever, and it didn't work. You were wrong. See, that's not creating form to force content. That's creating form to make wrong. And it's not what masculine energy is about. Forcing form to make content, to fill the context or to fill the space in your life. At work, which is one context, you force form to create content. At home, which is a different context, many masculine energies will force form to produce content. Whether they succeed or not is another matter, but the masculine energy is the forcing of that form to create content, to fill context. And to what extent are you looking at the energy of your life and looking for a better mousetrap? Yeah? To what extent are you shaping and forming and reforming, focusing and refocusing that energy to create something new, to create a new way of doing something, a new way of functioning? And are you dynamically creating? Are you putting things into action? Or are you waiting for everybody else to do that for you? And are you seeking meaning? When you do things, when you do take action, is it for show? Is it to impress? Or is it to seek meaning? To seek meaning in your life. Is it your nature to protect? Or to defend and deny? Is it your nature to provide? Or to take? What are you doing with your life? Are you in the mainstream of your energy? Are you a spectator? Sitting by and watching life happen. Watching it happen. Each of you has a masculine energy. Each of you needs a masculine energy. A masculine energy is beautiful energy. It is touching. It is poignant. To look at that part in yourself that is the masculine side is such a beautiful, wonderfully powerful energy. But see, if it functions alone, it's not in harmony, it is not powerful. That's when that energy that is so beautiful becomes sad, becomes a source of depression, becomes a source of emptiness and hollowness. But that's the masculine energy. And rather than attaching it to politics, as you really look at it, and look at it in yourself, as feminist as you are, and we would suggest here that hopefully you all are, to look at it. For you women to stop and look and to deal with the fact that there is male energy in here. You don't have to find it out there. That's why so many of you find yourself so enslaved to men, because you're seeking masculinity, which is really inside of you. But because you don't know that, because your society has told you otherwise, because the consensus of reality says it's out there, you keep looking out there.
I hate Billy Crystal so much that I can't even watch Monsters, Inc. My son loves Monsters, Inc., and it's a really sweet little animated film about bugs, about monsters that scare kids. But Billy Crystal plays a one-eyed monster who... I don't know when Billy Crystal thought he was part of the Catskills wave of comedy in the 40s. He wasn't, but that's all he can fucking do. Like, that's what his monster does. He does, like, a Freddie Roman shtick. He says to his big friend, he goes, "Oh, are you kidding me? You're so big, you got your own climate." And I had to leave the room and leave my child unattended watching the film. And I just went inside and punched the wall again and again. Why is it that people that were... Billy Crystal was a little bit funny at some point. Robin Williams was a little bit funny. Steve Martin. And now they fucking suck. And I just hope I can get to a level of success that they did before I start to suck as much as they do.
Henry Ross not the only person to have written a book and just stop.
No, indeed. Sometimes it seems to me that it's more typical for a writer to write one book and stop than to keep on writing until he produces a long bookshelf or a whole wing of a library.
Yeah, I mean, here's another one that we talked about. Yeah. I read it three times, that's why it's beat up. You know? Invisible Man.
Invisible Man. Somehow, Invisible Man was not only a book I loved when I first read it, but it was a book which somehow gave me the sense that he couldn't go any place from there, that he had said everything that he had to say, and said it so elegantly and beautiful that anything else would be a comment now. I figured he either wouldn't write a second book or write a very bad one.
Do you think it's because people just stopped writing? Because Roth kept a journal, and he ended up writing Ralph Ellison things that they've later published posthumously. Or is it some fear of publication or some other judgment coming sitting on, you know?
Well, I think Ralph Ellison had a problem which not all writers have. One of the reasons that he couldn't write a second book easily was that the first book was so successful. Sometimes writers stop writing for the opposite reason. Their book is a failure. I don't know which is worse. I think maybe in the end it turns out as many writers have stopped writing and even killed themselves because of the success of a book as because of the failure of a book.
We can even call Catcher in the Rye a one novel, even though he's
I guess he's really a one book writer. He's apparently a secret writer of many books, but nobody has ever seen them, and we can't even be sure they really exist. So he's a virtual one book writer. The most spectacular example is Margaret Mitchell, Gone with the Wind. People sometimes forget that she was a one-book writer. Edgar Allan Poe wrote one novel in his life. James T. Farrell, he wrote God knows how many books, but people only read Studs Lonegan. He's a writer who didn't begin as a one-book writer, but ended as a one-book writer.
Gene Herschel, who is so beloved by everybody. We're going to have Walter Winger, the president of the Academy of Arts and Sciences, with us in a moment to tell you something about his functions. Harry, is Winger around?
He's backstage arranging. He's trying to get
him. Backstage arranging. Well, we'll have Walter Winger for you and several other stars. Now, let's see who's coming in on this side. Well, there we have one of the most famous of all motion picturedom, Colonel Darryl Francis Zanuck, chief of production at 20th Century Fox. Not only chief of production, but famous author as well, and the guiding spirit of that concern. I say this with reverence because they pay me every week. And I'd say it anyway. Now, let's see who we have here on this side. Who's that coming? I see that crowd all in the huddle over there. That's William Perlberg. William Perlberg is the producer of The Song of Bernadette, one of the great, great pictures of the year. Has a possible chance of winning this award. Mr. Perlberg is surrounded by a number of friends who are tapping him on the back, and very rightly so. Very, very rightly so. Now we have coming through the door that very, very charming Miss Carol Landis. Miss Carol Landis. Miss Landis is to be seen very shortly in a picture called Four Jills in a Jeep, and has written a book, by the way, Four Jills in a Jeep. Her experiences when she toured Africa to entertain the boys. She and Martha Ray, Kay Francis, Mitzi Mayfair, went right into the frontline trenches almost to sing songs. Alan Hale just came in.
Party for one reason or another, and begin to make a journey from communism to anti-communism.
My genre's thriller. What's yours?
Well, then, you had better take it easy at officer's mess. You know, I saw two biomates watching you climbing the ladder to the bridge. Do you know what their affectionate name for you is?
Major Hall. I'm serious. I want a bio clearance as soon as possible.
You will get it. As soon as possible.
And when will that be?
When I'm satisfied.
We know that the number killed is now near 900. The number wounded, near 7,000 to date. And one in five have mental problems because of their tours.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
Wake up! Is every number where it was? Has this dream stopped?
Illuminati, you've come to take control. You can take my heartbeat, but you can break my heart.
Jews don't have any clear textual guide to the afterlife. I mean, even that it exists. I don't think much about it. I see it as a perpetual rainy Thursday afternoon in March. Dead leaves.
Oh. Very Greco-Roman.
For us, it's not the verdict that counts. It's the act of judgment. That's why I could never be a lawyer. In court, all that matters is the verdict.
You can never be a lawyer because you're oversexed. Too distracted.
Not distracted, abstracted. I'm trying to make a point.
Namely?
The shaping of the law, not its execution.
The point? You're the point.
That it should be the questions and shape of a life. Its total complexity gathered, arranged, and considered, which matters in the end. Not some stamp of salvation or damnation, which disperses all the complexity in some unsatisfying little decision. The balancing of the scale.
I like this. Very zen. It's reassuringly incomprehensible and useless. We who are about to die, thank you.
You are not about to die.
Tell me some more about justice.
You are not about to die.
Justice
is an immensity. It's a confusing vastness. Justice is God.
Stand by for picture.
Yeah, just
have
move
her rotate
picture.
Around the table a little bit further.
Ready. You're in the eye line. Can you please get off the stage?
Yeah, just bring in the six footer.
Like it. Thank you for tuning in to Tom Likas Show. This is where America gets together to talk about the issues you really care about. Different kind of a radio talk program. We're the radio talk show that is not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon? No! I am your host. Write down our toll-free telephone number. The rare exception of women who grew up here but had mothers who grew up in other countries and they subscribe to the culture of the old country, whatever that old country might be. I find that women who identify as American are generally fat, mouthy broads who want men to give, spend, do half the housework, pay more than half of all the bills, and they can't be bothered to put a hot dog on a plate when we get home from work or pick up or fold a pair of socks. And I'm fed up. I know I'm not the only one, although clearly most American guys end up with American women. That's just the way it is. But there's an increasing number of guys like me who've said, forget about it. I'm looking elsewhere. And it makes American women really angry. Now, there's any number of ways of doing this. You can travel to other countries. That can be expensive. But you could certainly get on a plane, go to another country with a guide or with a guidebook, find out where people hang out, find out where they socialize, go in there as a foreigner, and try to pick up chicks that way. You can do that. Some guys get onto these websites, online dating websites, and they put in particular countries where they find the women attractive or they think the women will be particularly promising in terms of getting married or whatever. And they start searching that way. Some guys find out where foreign chicks hang out in their town. You know, here in L.A., we've got, you name it, little Armenia, little Ethiopia, Koreatown, Chinatown. You've got Olvera Street. I mean, you've got places where you know that people of a particular ethnicity or race will hang out. Guys will go there. And most importantly, because I get so much mail about this, there are guys who have been essentially ordering mail order brides. And lately, the number one country that these women seem to be coming from is Russia. Women want to get Russia in the worst way. And guys are paying money to meet Russian women who are flown over here. They send letters. They fly over to meet them or fly over to get them. Like they're going to the back door at IKEA to pick up a bookshelf. They fly over to Russia and pick up their mail order brides or mail order dates and bring them over. What these guys have in common? Well, obviously, they're going that extra mile to avoid being with American women. They are fed up with the attitude of most American women. Russian brides are not the only mail-order brides. There are mail-order brides also in the Philippines. That seems to be the second most popular source of mail-order brides, the Philippines, or Thailand. And I'm wondering, since we have so many guys listening, I'm wondering what efforts you've gone to find women from other countries. And did you do it consciously because you were fed up with American women? Did you do it because you wanted somebody who would live up to certain stereotypes? Massaging your feet and making your dinner or whatever? Obeying your every command? What was your motivation to go to all this trouble? You know what? It's not easy to do. I mean, the easiest thing to do is to do what most American guys do. You see some chick in the office and you hit her.
no matter what color she is, no matter where she's from. But if you're going to go out looking for women from other countries, it takes work. Especially if you don't live in a city like Los Angeles or New York or Chicago, where you have all kinds of races and ethnicities. You really have to work at this. In some cases, you have to spend a certain amount of money to find women. Mail-order brides aren't called mail-order brides for nothing. These are women who get themselves listed, their pictures, frequently things like bikini shots and stuff, listed in these magazines or these books that guys buy. And then they pick up these chicks. And I know that this stuff drives American women nuts when they hear this.
Exhibit!
And I'm hoping it drives them nuts because I'm hoping it drives home the point that a lot of men are fed up with the attitudes of American women.
High school, and what is your main territory? Is Massachusetts, but you travel all over.
I just have a P.O. box in Massachusetts. I'm pretty much on the road 90% of the time.
Well, you never know where David will be, and when
somewhere
he might
in the
be
U.S.
able,
usually.
Yeah, when you might be able to pass through the town. I mean, it may not be next week, but it could be 6 months from now, and that could be something that you folks, you listeners, can help set up. So.
The impression they receive and the opinions they form about Kentucky Fried Chicken totally depend upon you, the customer service worker. Because you are the one that handles the sales transaction with your customers. You are the important link to making your customers happy and giving them the kind of service they expect. That is, fast, friendly service. You provide the service in QSC. As your customers leave your store, we want them to have a good feeling. Not only about KFC, but also a good feeling about you and the service you provided. That good feeling happens during the order-taking process. It is during this transaction that you come face-to-face with your customers and have the opportunity to impress them with your friendliness, interest in them, and your helpfulness and sincerity. During this program, we're going to talk about the 7 steps you are to follow in all sales transactions with your customers. Follow these 7 steps each time you take a customer's order, and they'll leave with a good feeling about you and KFC.
All systems go!
What are the 7 steps? The first step is to...
I think we ought to pray. Ask God for help. Ask Him together.
God won't talk to me. I have to make up people to talk to me.
You have to keep asking.
I forgot the question. Oh, yeah. God, is my husband a...
Stop it! I'm warning you! Does it make any difference that I might be one thing deep within? No matter how wrong or ugly that thing is, so long as I have fought with everything I have to kill it. What do you want from me?
Make sure that I look excellent. That's you. One more. One more.
And you can function just fine until one of those creatures who you think has that male energy walks into your life. then all of a sudden some of you turn into babbling idiots. Some of you turn into manipulative, very bitchy women, turning on each other, pulling each other down, hurting each other, hurting your sisters, because a man has shown up. It is understood among most women that if you have a luncheon date with one of your girlfriends, you can cancel it if a man asks you out. You'll understand. A man asks now. And sadly, often she does, because she would do the same thing. Many of you who have wonderful jobs, wonderful personal life, who are in total good physical, emotional, and mental health, who have a dynamic future, do not give yourself credit for any of it, because there's not a him to share it with any of him. I don't care what he looks like. I don't care what he acts like. I don't care how old he is, how young he is. I don't care what he does, just so I have one of him. Because you've been conditioned to think that the only place to find masculine energy is out there. The only way to have an intellect and a meaning to your life, the only way to have any sense of fulfillment, is to have a him. Thinking that a him has automatically masculine energy.
Next week, a famous millionaire reveals how it feels to have piles of gold. Wealthy but uncomfortable.
Now, news from the courts. In the Central Divorce Court today, a lady clairvoyant was granted a divorce on the grounds of her husband's adultery next weekend in Brighton.
Here's the late news. Mr. Healy gave some interesting figures on education today. In the Greater London area, one half of the population can't read, one half can't write, and the other three quarters can't hide up.
A West Drayton man who kept himself awake by snoring every night for 17 years has at last found the answer. He's going to sleep in another room.
And finally, sport. At the nudist pentathlon at Crystal Palace this afternoon was won by Britain's Orville Stark. He was fourth in the 100 metres, third in the long jump, second in the low hurdles, had an accident in the high hurdles, and was first in the yodeling. So it's good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
Picture Arts and Sciences Awards has been especially arranged to reach American soldiers and sailors, Marines and Coast Guardsmen in
plenty of places in the world where a kid dying is pretty common, but we can't deal with it because a dead child is the greatest failure of a culture that believes it's reversed the order of nature.
Smile. As a customer approaches the counter, look directly at them and smile.
From me, Harper, more than that? For God's sake, there's nothing left. I'm a shell. There's nothing left to kill. As long as my behavior is what I know it has to be, decent, correct, that alone in the eyes of God.
No, no, not that. That's Utah talk, Mormon talk. I hate it, Joe. Tell me, say it.
No, all I will say is that I'm a very good man who has worked very hard to become good, and you want to destroy that. You want to destroy me, but I'm not going to let you do that.
I'm going to have a baby.
Liar.
You liar. A baby born addicted to pills. A baby who does not dream, but who hallucinates, who stares up at us with big mirror eyes and who does not know who we are.
Are you really?
No. Yes. No. Yes. Get away from me. Now we both have a secret.
Back, my friends. Back, I say. Back to the position nature gave us in the beginning. Down, down, I say. Down on all fours.
Are the bugs here so dangerous that you're afraid of them?
No, on the contrary. We have yet to find a harmful life form.
If he shows, and he's smart, he'll approach you from the front, pass, turn, try and take you from behind. How's your hearing?
It's good.
You'll wear a wire one way. We'll hear you. You won't hear us. Check that out. Chart Arms 44 Special Bulldog.
Yeah.
Loads in it. You ever fire him?
Glazer safety slip.
Yeah, number 12 shot suspended in liquid Teflon in a copper casing. On impact, it all opens up in the target. Guaranteed one-shot stop.
You got body armor?
Yeah, Kevlar second chance. I hope you get one.
Because he's gone for the headshot 8 out of 11 times? Let's walk the route.
All coming into focus now. Kind of late in things. Forms that have formed. Have already had to answer for themselves. So we have to turn to some other aspect. But we know what that is, and we can do that. Just a matter of bringing to bear the metaphysics. Partially dressed and considering where to go. Kind of got it all partially covered, which is pretty good these days. NewMetaphysics.com. Well, what about it? You could go there. I don't know how you're hearing me if you haven't been there. Unless you're getting it through a third party. From the reach around. Gary at newmetaphysics.com. If you want to send it back. Mountain Stream. If your blood is a little thicker than normal for high altitude, you know how it is up there. Very still. See long distance. Prequel sequel. Dead center. Don't need the rest. Can access all at any time.
You know what I find interesting? If you lose a spouse, you're called a widow or a widower. If you're a child and you lose your parents, then you're an orphan. But what's the word to describe a parent who loses a child? I guess that's just too fucking awful to even have a name.
How did you become a reader and a writer? You said that your parents were nearly illiterate.
They were illiterate, yeah, and because of the public libraries and the Settlement House Library, Hudsonville Settlement House Library, and you started to read, and it was just the greatest thing in the world to read. And so,
what did your parents think of you reading? It was something that they couldn't do. Were they proud of you for being able to do it?
No, I wrote a line someplace where my mother regarded my library card with the same horror that present-day mothers look at their son's heroin needles. You know, I made some sort of comparison to that. Reading was not relevant. Reading didn't help you make a...
Politics now that I've been shown what the media doesn't tell us. I spent 7 months at Desert Shield, Desert Storm. It was miserable, frightening, and a joke. An absolute joke. I and many in my unit thought it was a sham that we were there and that oil was the price for our lives. I felt sold out. Our servicemen and women are dying for a lying president who would rather golf than deal with reality.
This river, this mountain, and everything we don't know about. Mickey, do you take Mallory to be your lawful wedded wife to have and hold and treat right until you die? Do.
Oh, baby.
Mallory, do you take Mickey to be your...
murder anybody on a wedding day.
Fuck you! God!
I do. For all eternity, until you and I die and die and die again. Till death do us part. Yeah!
Baby, by the power vested in me as God of my world, I pronounce us husband and wife.
I suspect you all have received an offer for some time. Some of you may have even accepted that offer. What's an offer? An offer would be, would you go bowling with me, Daisy May? That's the offer. And the acceptance is, of course, Bubba. There you have an offer and an acceptance.
But to him, Wilson, I'll give it to you. And therefore you can have all this wonderment in your life and throw it all away. Dismiss it as nothing. Feel lousy, feel low, and we run into a lot of that with you. You say, today's almost word for word, old as honest, yeah, I've got a great job, I've got a great this, I've got a great that, I live in a wonderful place, I'm happy with my life, I have wonderful friends, and this and that, I'm growing spiritually, I'm really understanding my focuses, I'm clearing out my blockages. What does it all mean? What's it for? Why should I do it? When am I ever going to meet him? But that's all that matters. I give up the rest. I'd gladly give up all the rest of it if I could just have a him. Because you think that somewhere therein, it's not for the closeness or the tenderness, because you, when you get a him, don't often care about that. You just want a him. Because you think that's going to give you this masculine energy, rather than realizing it's inside you. Rather than realizing it's inside of you. And turning there to find the masculine energy, then if you want a him or not, you can will it and act upon it and manifest it. You can create the form to force the content, to build the context. You can shape and reshape, form and reform, focus and refocus the energy to, in a sense, create new structure. You can dynamically put into action a plan to create a him. You can seek the meaning and the understanding. You most definitely can provide and protect for yourself, provide for yourself instinctively, and do whatever you need to do to create a man or a him or a relationship with a man, is that critically important to you? And ironically, it is by bringing that masculine energy inside of you into a harmony that will produce the manifestation of what you want, whatever it is that you want in your reality.